Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2, please. We're going to continue with this theme a little bit on stand and consider stand and see God work. Stand and see God work. Esther, as we stand on what God has told us and the truth we know, we see God go to work in our lives. And specifically, when it involves our well-being, we see his working out details that we could never do for ourselves in the right timing and the right people being involved along the way. He also shows us purpose in our lives, which is a very, very key component to our mental well-being. Many are familiar with this record of Esther. It begins with the queen refusing to come to the king's command, King Ahasuerus. And then a replacement is sought. And eventually Esther, a young Judean exile, is chosen. In Esther chapter 2, verse 20, we'll pick it up. Esther 2, verse 20. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. Mordecai is her uncle, and both he and she are exiles from Judea, living in a foreign land. And she had not shown that she was a Judean because Mordecai had charged her not to do it. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. Kings in those days were very vulnerable to servants and people that had access to them. So often a plot to get rid of the king. That's the way they changed regimes. So, verse 22, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. She's the queen at this point. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. So it was made known. Verse 23, and when inquisition was made of the matter, in other words, they investigated the details. It was found out, therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. You can see Mordecai at the right place at the right time. How did he know this information? We don't really know. All we know, he was at the right place to know this information. And he reveals the plot to Esther. Esther communicates it, and the situation gets resolved. What's interesting is that God knows all things. He knows what you're doing. He knows what I'm doing. And as we take action, because there's no indication whatsoever other than Mordecai's loyalty as a servant and his integrity and character for him to carry out this action to reveal these two individuals. God looks at your character. God looks at my character, our integrity, and the things that are done are very important, whether they come to light or not, because nothing goes unnoticed. Not to God, anyway. Then chapter 3, verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. So Haman turns out to be an evil character in this record, as we know, and the king advances him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. Watch this. But Mordecai bowed what? Not. He did not bow. He stood his ground. He did not bow, nor did him reverence. It turns out this Haman character is a very evil individual indeed. So Mordecai, even though it was the king's command, he would not bow to this individual. Verse 3. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, these are the king's servants, and he, Mordecai, hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew or a Judean. Interesting. They wanted to see if what Mordecai was doing was going to stand. And we're going to see that it does. Even though circumstances seem to be moving in the opposite direction, quickly and violently moving in another direction. Because what happens is Haman convinces the king to get rid of all the Judeans in his kingdom. Verse 13, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Judeans, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So this individual is taking action, and he's getting the king involved, and because the way that this kingdom was set up, when something was decreed by the king, it could not change. So now you've got legal authority, legal precedent that cannot be altered. This sounds like everything is surmounted or every obstacle is put against God's people. Yet Mordecai continued to stand. And because his stand, he influenced his niece, Esther, who's the queen, to stand as well. You know, sometimes the legal side of life can be very intimidating. But we'll see that even though this legal decree was in effect, God has ways of dealing with these issues. If we stand, we don't bow. Look at chapter 4, please. Chapter 4, verse 7. What's going to happen here is Mordecai is crying in the streets regarding this decree. He's really upset. And his niece, Esther, hears about this. So she sends a servant to Mordecai to find out what's going on. Verse 7. And Mordecai told him, the servant, of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Judeans to destroy them. Also, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. Mordecai is telling her, listen, go in unto the king and ask him for us. Make intercession for us. Esther is a young woman at this point. She is married now to the king. But these things are very turbulent in the heart of and soul of an individual. When you have that much authority, when you have that much power, when you have that much against you, it almost seems insurmountable. But the answer is simple. Stand. That's the simplicity of it. Stand. Even though in this day and time that we're speaking about, this is the most powerful nation on earth that the king rules over, and his decree is unquestionable, cannot be changed. Yet we have to bring God into the picture. And once we bring God into the picture and we stand, God can go to work. That's where we see his timing. We see his details working things out we could never do for ourselves. Never, ever. It's worth it to stand. So Esther responds back to Mordecai and says, you know, I can't do this. I haven't been called unto the king. The queen did not have free access to the king. The queen had to be summoned by the king in this culture. In verse 13, Mordecai responds. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther in chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Judeans. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Judeans from another place. Look at his confidence in God. He says, if you don't do this, someone else is going to rise up because God is going to deliver us. but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this?" What a line. See, oftentimes we think our lives have no meaning or purpose. Where do we get this idea? Where do we get this idea that we are just kind of like a leaf in the wind and we're blown around? And it doesn't come from God. I'll tell you that. It does not come from God. It says, Ephesians 3:11, that according as to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, our lives are framed by Ephesians 3:11, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our lives are framed by that. Our lives are oozing with purpose. And this is the right time. There's no question about it. So where we get this idea that our lives don't have purpose and meaning, it's not from God. Never was. Why not believe we're at the right place at the right time? Why not believe that God is working in our lives? Whether things are chronicled or made public or not made public, it makes no difference. You take a stand. It does have an impact. Whether anybody recognizes it or not, God does. Verse 15, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go, gather together all the Judeans that are present in Shushan.'" Shushan was the palace in which the king resided. "And fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise." He wanted to focus in on God's deliverance. "And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law." In other words, it's against the law. "And if I perish, I perish." That's a stand. And that's never going to happen. If you and I ever take a stand like this, you're not going to have to perish, because the Lord God Almighty will bear his arm. But it comes down to what's right. And God's always right. Well, the evil man, Haman, decides that he's going to build some gallows to hang Mordecai on. In chapter 5, verse 14, "Then said Suresh," his wife, this is Haman's wife, "and all his friends unto him, 'Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high." That's pretty high. "And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet." And the king the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. So they're building the gallows to hang Mordecai on. But see, God's hand is on Mordecai's life because he's standing. Everything seems to be against Mordecai. The legal side, everything. Chapter 6, verse 1, "On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus." So it was recorded that Mordecai had revealed the plot against the king, and now it's read back to him. And you know what happens? The king wants to reward Mordecai. And while Haman is out in the outer court, ready to tell the king, "Hey, listen, let's hang Mordecai," the king brings Haman in and says, "Reward Mordecai." And you know what happens? Haman gets hanged on this. And the whole thing gets reversed. The whole situation gets reversed, even though you've got the whole legal side against God's people. Let's close in Psalm 37. "As we stand, God can turn things around that seem to be going in the wrong direction, especially when it comes to our well-being." God is not slack when it comes to your well-being and mine. When it comes to our well-being, he's not slack. When we stand, we can claim these verses in Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, verse 6, it says, "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." He'll bring those good works that you've been doing in secret to light. You're darn right. He'll bring your character and your integrity that you've been doing because you love him and you carry out his word. He's going to bring those things to light. He's not going to let you stand there by yourself. When you stand and I stand, he stands with us. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That's like Haman. And there's plenty of people that are bringing wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, don't do what the world is doing because it looks like they're getting away with it. Don't do it. You do what's right, even though no one's watching. Your integrity and your character, you stand on the word and don't budge on what you know to be true and what he's told you. For evildoers shall be cut off, just like Haman. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. All the blessings that come from the earth, all the richness and quality of life that comes from the earth, that's ours. As we stand on what God has told us and the truth we know, we see God go to work in our lives, specifically when it involves our well-being. We see his working out details that we could never work out for ourselves. The right timing, the right people being involved along the way. He shows us purpose in our lives, gives us meaning. And the key to the whole thing is stand.